Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Well, welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. We're talking about the sacred purpose trust and the fact that Christ said over and over and over again that you needed to be doers of the word. We were just reading from Matthew, where he made it really clear in Matthew 7:21 to 29. And he was free to speak these things because he had done what Moses said. The ministers were duped. A lot of people think, well, Jesus, I've said this before, Jesus was high priest and king. And a lot of people don't want to agree with that. But the reality was that his cousin, who baptized him, was literally the rightful high priest of the true church in the wilderness, because he was doing what he was supposed to be doing. But Christ even got Caiaphas to eventually repent. Although we don't see that specifically in the text, there is some, you know, and I go through the story and the fact that they recently found a bone box of Caiaphas seems to be dating all the way back to that time with strange symbols on it and three nails like those used in crucifixion found in the box. When you understand the history of Caiaphas and how he was involved with Ananias, who was a very evil man and had many evil sons, and Caiaphas had married one of his daughters. See, if you get all these other little pieces, you start realizing what was happening then. Then you can read the Bible in context. But if you don't know what was actually going on, what words meant, what customs were, then you can get easily taken away. But if you were filled with the Holy Spirit, if you were connected to that Rosh Hashanah, then you will start to see certain things. You'll say, hey, this doesn't make sense the way they're telling me. It must be something else. And with a little bit of information, you'll say, oh, well, now I see how the dots are connected. But if you don't connect to that Spirit, that source of revelation, you'll just accept. Oh, all I have to do is believe. In what? Believe in what? Believe in the real Christ or some made-up version of Christ? Because that's what most Christians do, is they believe in a made-up version of Christ. No, so who are the real Christians? Well, it's kind of difficult to say. And the fact is, I don't have to say. I know what a Christian is not. A Christian is not somebody who does contrary to the ways of Christ, because he's not following Christ. Now, they want you to not follow Christ. They want you to follow off this false Christ that they've been preaching. And they got many of you to do it. And so here I come along, a voice in the wilderness, saying, make straight the way of the Lord. And in order to say that, I am insinuating, even saying, the way you're doing it now is crooked and unrighteous. So anyway, we can also read in Luke 6:47, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. And he goes on and explains it. But it's very important that they be doers. Timothy 2:9, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. You see, this is where the spiritual power enters in. That if you start going, sincerely going in the ways of righteousness, which is what Christ said to do, seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness, not the self-righteousness of the world, but His righteousness, which means to stop coveting, start loving one another. And that's the purpose of a congregation. It's not to make you feel good. James 1:22 and 23, we see, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Well, that's what the Christians are doing. They're deceiving their own selves. They think that all we have to do is say. Lord, Lord. You know, this is James in the epistle. See, I had a minister. I should send him copies of this so he can listen because he's not on the net. Mentioning that where Christ said you had to be doers of the word. He says, oh, that was before the crucifixion. Now that he was crucified, we're just all saved. Well, wait a minute. James is writing after the crucifixion, after the resurrection. And he's saying, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. And that's, of course, what's happened. And he goes on to say, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. And, of course, that's a reference to actual Greek myths and philosophies that James evidently knew about. You're in love with your own reflection. You're in love with the idea that you're saved. You're not in love with Christ. Now, you could be if you repent, but you're going to have to start doing things differently. You won't be able to do it enough. You won't be able to do it righteously. But in that walk, in those steps you must take, the Spirit of God will enter in and change you. 1 John 2:17, and the world passeth away. The world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So what is he talking about? The lust thereof, of the world. I mean, does a planet have lust? Is that what he's talking about? Or is there something else that we see going on here in this particular text? And we actually see this reference to the world passeth several times in the Bible. What word do you think they translated into world there? You know, because a lot of people talk about the planet passing away, but the word that they use, and you find it in Corinthians and 1 Corinthians 7:21, if you want to look it up, or 7:31, I think it was, and also in 1 John 2:17. This world passeth away. That's that, and I'll read you the definition again. I'm not making this up. An apt or harmonious arrangement or constitution, comma, order, comma, government. That's what they're talking about. That's the unrighteous mammon. It's going to fail. It is failing. You're seeing it fail. And you're sitting there not figuring out what to do. Well, we'll show you what to do. But you got to do it. Because we're not going to tell you, like I say, all on the radio. You have to actually start doing it. 3 John 1:10, wherefore, if I come and I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. What's he talking about? Well, you go read that. 3 John 1:10. Go read the whole chapter. There is this false Christianity in the last days. We're told many would follow these pernicious ways, and that's what you're doing. But if you just simply turn around and start seeking to go back the other way, recreate that society that was sustaining the welfare of society by faith, hope, and charity, and look for ministries who work diligently to do that, not to so that they can live in million-dollar mansions. You know, and they have extra, the best insurance in the world and all this kind of stuff, and they have no insurance because they don't have Christ. They were poor and made themselves rich at your expense. There's a lot of money in tickling ears. Good money in that. Not good money. Big money. Anyway, a minister of Christ must serve the people. This is required. The people need to be doers of the word. They should be tithing. How were the apostles giving away bread house to house? How were they traveling around? But Peter wasn't fishing anymore. How was he getting from one place to the other? How are they doing that? people were supporting their ministry. And they weren't just going around doing the do-nothing. They were actually, everybody who got the baptism of Jesus Christ was cast out of the welfare system set up by Herod through the temple and through the synagogue. But of course, you know, as John says, that was the synagogue of Satan. Why was it the synagogue of Satan, the synagogue of the adversary? Because it didn't operate by faith, hope, and charity, or the perfect law of liberty. It operated by men who called themselves benefactors but exercised authority. So anyway, the people had to tithe. And, you know, tithing isn't just 10%. Tithing was 10 families gathered together, each one giving a portion of what was needed to operate a government by free will offerings. This is what Israel was. This is what the early church was. That would mean that if the Levite minister that served those 10 families, those 10 tents, those 10 homes, if that Levite minister devoted all his working day to health, education, and welfare for those 10 families, plus spent time, considerable time, connecting them with the other ministers in his own congregation of ministers, which is part of that network, when was he going to have any time to earn the money necessary to feed his family, take care of his family needs? He had no inheritance in the land. Now, the Levites had land, but that was to support their efforts. You had to support that minister 100% of the time. So he didn't have to go out and work another job. He had a full-time job. He was the government of Israel. He was all these, you know, small business administration, all these government-issued things that you have in your bureaucracies they had in Israel, but they had it based on free will offerings. So you had the treasury in your pocket, but it had to flow. Like that letter mem I always talk about, had to flow. That's what the word altar begins with, the word mem. Had to flow. That's why Jesus gave away what was given him, because he was creating that flow out of love, out of compassion. One of the greatest generals in the history of the world, Alexander the Great, leading an army across the desert. One of his scouts going out ahead found water, brought it back in his helmet, gives it to Alexander the Great to drink. He holds it up so everybody can see it, and he pours it out into the sand, saying he would not drink till all his men drank. That is the character of Christ. Now, a lot of the other things that Alexander the Great did was not of the character of Christ. And I'm sure that many of you out there have elements of the character of Christ in you. But we have to manifest the wholeness. If you're going to put on the whole armor, you got to do the whole enchilada, the whole thing. You have to eventually get to, you have to work in that direction, that you are the entire social welfare of your congregations and congregations of congregations. Like we used to do in this country when we were becoming great. Now we live on those laurels, but we suck the life out of one another. We have become little beasties, sending men out to kick in the door of our neighbors so that we can have free education, free health care, free all these things. That's insane to think that you're a Christian and still doing that. Robbing widows and orphans, robbing the unborn with debt, so that you can be comfortable now. Everybody's going to have to lower their standard of living in order to make this happen. But eventually you will come out on top. The only reason you have to lower your standard of living to give what you need to give to be the ministers of God, including all you elders of the congregation, is because you've been slothful in the past. If you had continued in the ways of Christ for the last 200 years, we would be the most powerful nation on the world. But you chosen not to. A minister of Christ must serve the people. He cannot do that unless the people support his efforts. Luke 22:27, for whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat? But I am amongst you as he that serveth. This is the character, the manifestation of the ministers of God. John 13:16, verily, verily, I say unto thee, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. John 15:20, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, and see, that's the thing, is we're going to be persecuted because we want to live by faith, hope, and charity. Because we don't want to force our neighbor to contribute to our welfare. We will be counted as evil. And you've heard me say this before, and now you hear it again. But these are records. On the Living Network, we're going to be sending out recordings that we made last year, bringing people up to speed. I'm amazed at the number of people that are in the network that still don't have a good picture. They don't all listen to the study groups. They're not all on the study groups. They get distracted. But that's where we're at now, is finding those who have it written on their heart so much that they won't be distracted. They keep going. They persevere. Now, these ministers, they must serve the people, but they also must care of and for their families, their own families. Remember in 1 Timothy it says, chapter 5, verse 8, but if any provide not for his own, and specially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. So if you go to the benefactors who exercise authority to provide for your own, and especially for your own house, you have denied the faith. And I tell you this in a time when you can't even take care of your own or your family without the benefactors who exercise authority, because you become so weak, you're literally bedridden. You're incapable of providing for your own. All the more reason you need to gather together. This is the purpose of the congregations and the Sacred Purpose Trust, to make that something that you can actually do. You have to take that extra money, instead of buying your cigarettes or your booze or whatever it is, and start taking care of one another. Instead of buying that extra motorcycle that you probably don't even need anyway, you're going to have to start taking care of one another. This is how you lower the standard of living. I'm not telling you to starve yourself to death. Maybe get a little cheaper apartment, whatever it is, and provide for others. The more you do that, the more you will purge your own spirit of the spirit of Cain, of the spirit of Nimrod. And the more, as you purge your spirit of that, the more the Holy Spirit can enter into you and give you life. But you cannot do it like a witch's brew. You have to do it because you understand that principle in your heart and in your mind. Now note in that 1 Timothy 5:8, he talks about provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house. So when we say of his own, we're not talking about his family. We're talking about his congregation. And if you talk about one congregation, you have to be talking about all congregations, because you have to love the next congregation as much as your own. So you see here, if your church is not providing all the social welfare for the people that are congregating in your church is not keeping the faith. You're denying the faith. And you're not a Christian. You're worse than an infidel. You see, the infidels are socialists. They force their neighbor to contribute. They don't provide it out of faith, hope, and charity and the perfect law of liberty. So therefore, they are not at liberty. They're under these Nimrodic, tyrannical kings and rulers. And God's many. And of course, that's where most of the Jews today are, most of the Hindus today are, most of the Christians today are. They're actually infidels. Pretty hard-hitting stuff. But that's what you have to see. And we've covered this more than once. And you'll, if you sit down and listen to the whole series, you'll hear it again and again. But you have to a lot of times in order to come to a fuller understanding of the truth. Because there's so long you've been hearing it and it hasn't been sticking in your mind. So there occasionally I'll tell you a little story along with it too. But also serve the people. This minister has to take care of his family. He has to serve the people as administrators of the affairs of society. And I've given this before and I'll give it again. In Philippians 3:20 he says, "For our conversation is in heaven." And that word conversation, why did they say conversation there? I mean, are you talking in heaven? Is that, I mean, because when we say conversation, we think of heaven. I mean, talking, speaking. So what is he talking about? Our conversation. And see, there's two words that are translated into conversation. You'll find the word conversation twice, or actually more than twice in the Bible, because there's conversations. But in one place, it's anastrepho, which actually is translated return, also translated live, also abide, overthrow. It means to turn upside down or overturn is what it actually means. And they translated conversation a couple times. It appears almost a dozen times. But they translated conversation. But in Philippians, it's a different word. It's the word polytume. And polytume, which comes from polytumai, which is the verb, it means the administration of civil affairs. It's a very specific word. It's where you get the word politics. Our politics is in heaven. Our politics is in the perfect law of liberty. Our politics is in free will offerings. Our politics is in the righteousness of God based on love. That's what our politics is in. But that's not what a lot of people claiming to be Christian, that's not what their politics is in. We see that as a verb, in, but it's just translated lived in Acts 23:1. And we see it also as a verb in Philippians 1:27. Only let your conversation, in other words, your administration of civil affairs. Yeah, that's right. He's talking about that. You can see there was this other king, Jesus. And those who chose him as their king were not a part of the welfare system of Herod, the welfare system of Rome, the welfare system of Ephesus, the welfare system of Corinth. Although Paul talks to the treasurer of Corinth saying, you should do it our way. And eventually, Caesar even had to do it his way, to some degree. And that's what you see with Constantine. Of course, Constantine fudged it. He devastated Christianity by creating a false Christianity. And that's where we've all come down from. There's been attempts to go back, and some men have successfully gone back. But today, the modern Christian has no understanding, virtually no understanding, of what the system of God really looks like. They've abandoned the system of God. They are not taking care of one another through faith, hope, and charity, and free will offerings, and the perfect law of liberty. And this is why you need the Sacred Purpose Trust. We call it Sacred Purpose Trust, but it's really just faith in the ways of Christ. Where you pick a minister and you fund him to take care of the needs of your society, starting with your local congregation, your own, but not ever forgetting the next congregation. Home churches are great, But home churches who are not connected with other home churches all over the country for the purposes of being the social welfare of society are off the track. They're just little mutual back-scratching groups. They're not even, I was going to use the word society there, but I can't really use the word society. So in Philippians 1:27, he says, only let your conversation, your administration of civil affairs, be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs. And ye stand fast in one spirit, that spirit of liberty, and one mind, striving together for faith of the gospel. This is the gospel. You can be free souls under God if you repent and seek the righteousness of God. And this is what we're talking about. We'll be back to Keys of the Kingdom, and we'll tell you more.
My name is Mark, and I'm from Melbourne in Australia, and I'm a minister in the church established by Jesus Christ more than 2,000 years ago. After reading the books published at hisholychurch.org, I realized that mainstream Christianity had taken a wrong turn by forgetting what Jesus said to do, to practice pure religion while remaining unspotted from the world. What does this mean, and how is this done exactly? You'll find out when you go to hisholychurch.org and discover what it truly means to love God and your neighbour as much as yourself. Join the Living Network at hisholychurch.org.
Have you ever looked at the things happening in the world today and felt that something just wasn't right, but couldn't put your finger on it? Have you ever heard the phrase, God bless America, and wondered to yourself, does he really? Or have you ever looked at the government's policies on things such as abortion or same-sex marriage and asked yourself, how could they? Or where are all the Christians voicing their outrage? These are hard questions that many people today ask themselves. But along with those hard questions come some very hard answers. Answers that you may never heard before, but nonetheless will answer these and other questions you may have. So if you're looking for answers, join us at hisholychurch.org. It's not what you might think, and it will open the heart and mind to a whole other world that you never even knew existed. It did for me and many others. I know it will for you as well. So join us as we seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness at hisholychurch.org.
The Creator is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. His kingdom was, is, and will be forever on earth as it is in heaven. Start by connecting and finding other kingdom-seeking families on the His Holy Church Living Network. Visit www.hisholychurch.org to start your journey back to your unalienable birthright.
I'm Brother Justice, and I'm a minister of His Holy Church of Sacramento, California. His Holy Church is a powerful weapon in the hands of God. The books, The Covenants of the Gods, and Thy Kingdom Come has changed the course of my life forever. For those of you who are truly looking for the way, I encourage you to look to His Holy Church at www.hisholychurch.org. May the good Lord bless you and keep you.
Hi, I'm Brent. I'm a contact minister for the Living Network in Northeast Missouri. You're not the only one out there with the desire to learn the truth. There are people all over the world coming together in faith, hope, and charity. Join us at one of the upcoming gatherings to meet new people, fellowship, work, and play. Whether it's the Fall Burning Bush Festival in Oregon or the Spring Gathering in Northeast Missouri, you'll get all the details when you join the Living Network. Go to hisholychurch.org and click on the network link. Find out what you've been missing. You'll be glad you did.
things seem to be going wrong in the world today. Every aspect of our lives seems to be under attack sometimes. Many struggle to make sense out of it. What is really going on? Identifying the problem is critical to any solution. Many people claim to have answers. But what is the truth? What works? What has worked in the past? History does repeat itself, and you must learn from it. You have choices. We cannot change the course of history, but we may change our role in it. All roads lead to Rome. All roads lead to the kingdom of God. The question is, which way are you going? Join us to make sense out of it all for an iconoclastic look at the world yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and hear about the keys of the kingdom.
So during the break, did everybody go to thelivingnetwork.org and sign up for their local congregation so they can start taking care of one another out of love instead of out of the spirit of Cain and Nimrod and the evil, satanic ways of the past? Or did you just wait and think that something's going to change without being doers of the word? Because if you did, you're in a lot of trouble. You're going to have to start acting upon what you begin to understand. And if you don't understand and you're getting all mad at us and thinking we're all wrong and we don't know what we're talking about, well, you know, we'll pray for you. What can I say? These ministers, they had no authority over the people. These ministers of the early church, they could not exercise authority one over the other. They were told not to be that way, but they had an obligation to feed the sheep, to take care of one another, and to facilitate the elders of every congregation in taking care of their own, as well as their own family. You know, if they fell off a ladder, the church was there. If their house burned down, the church would be there. And there's some of that in every community. Some of that. You know, we talked about the, you know, people, you know, dying in their house and nobody finding them for 3, 4, 5 years. Not even knowing. Don't even know. Nobody's ever checked. Old people. Nobody cared. What kind of a society are we? Well, we're the kind of society where a girl can be abducted on the street in broad daylight, right in front of everybody, and everybody just stands there and does absolutely nothing. That's the kind of society that we are. Where people can be beat, abused, by the bureaucrats, violated, eaten up, destroyed, and you go to church and sing and think you're saved. I don't care what country you live in, you don't live in the greatest country in the world. It's now measuring which country you live in as the worst country in the world. Which one of you live in the worst country of the world? All the evil of the world is focused in America, and it's doing a good job. Now, when are you going to start doing your job of repenting, turning around and going the other way? These ministers were naked. They were titular. They exercised no authority over the people, but they did have authority over what the people gave them. What the people gave them is in a trust. It's in a sacred purpose trust. It's not their money. It's Christ's money. Say you fell on hard times and you needed help. A medical, a fire, you lost your job, whatever it was. And you needed help financially. And the church came and gave you $500 or $1,000. And then you got on your feet. Did you pay the church back? Now, it's not a loan, you know, because it would be illegal for the church to give a no-interest loan, because that's the way systems of the world operate. I mean, you can't even give a no-interest loan to a family member. By law, you have to charge them. They're not allowing you to do that. It's illegal not to charge usury. in most countries today. I remember when I was a little kid, which shows you how old I am, usury was anything, I think it was, if it was over 3.5%, it was considered usury. You know, it's usury if it's anything, but that is really interest gain. You know, this is why I say that his church should form a credit union. We could, if you were to start forming real congregations, we would work more on that. Because a credit union is a bank, not for profit. So when they charge interest on your house loan or whatever, it's not to buy a boat. It's not to get a vacation in the Riviera. It's not to make some CEO rich. If they actually make money, they have to give it back to the people in some sort of charitable way. This is what they were doing in Acts 6. They were forming an institution to help maintain the daily ministration, because they didn't have Social Security through Herod's temple anymore. They had to have it through the living temple of Christ. And we can show you how to do all that. But you got to start working at being the congregations of God. The tents of the congregation of God, the families of the congregation, the clay altars of Abraham. And then you entrust your minister with funds so that he can work full time serving the kingdom, serving the houses of the families. Then you're also going to have to tithe to him so that he has bread to distribute when there's people that are hungry and when they're helped. And if he helps you, when you get back on your feet, you have to pay that back. Not because you owe him, because he didn't loan it to you anyway. He gave you what Christ gave him. Now you have to give back. So, you know, I heard from ministers who, you know, a family was really on hard times and the church gave them a bunch of money to help them over a real rough time. And then they got over it and they just went out and they never paid anything back. Now, if the church helps you, you don't owe the church. You owe Jesus. Now, you could pay back the church. Maybe you'll pay somebody else. You'll do something else and help somebody else. But if you don't pay back to the church, it won't have the funds to help the next guy. What's the matter with you? Don't you love your neighbor as yourself? You see, that's how it works. People don't think that way in the modern church. You certainly don't think that way in the church you really attend to, which is the Social Security Welfare Office Church of the men who exercise authority. That's your religion. You know, like that scene with the actor. He was a boxer and he had to go on the government dole. And then when he finally got on his feet, he went back to the government dole office, where he had gotten some funds, and he paid them back, and everybody was just standing around like stunned. That's the way you should do it. You should pay it back with interest. That's passing it forward. But you should be picking ministers who want to be the titular, naked, non-exercising authority people that lead you back to the ways of Christ, not the ones that tickle your ears and make you fools, who take from your neighbor to provide you with social welfare. In a republic, the leaders are titular. In the church, the leaders are titular. They don't have any authority. They are naked. They don't exercise authority over you, but they do exercise authority over what you give them. So that forces you to pick wisely when you pick a minister. That means you have to work at it. First job in a congregation of record is to build that congregation. And you do that by going out and helping the truly needy that may be seeking the righteousness of God first. You do that by spreading the word, getting us on more radio stations, or getting somebody who's preaching the actual gospel. If you find more, actually somebody sent me a video today that's supposed to be somebody who's talking about this thing, but I don't have enough bandwidth to download it until after midnight. So I'll have to wait and to see what the guy has to say. But don't make me do it all. We have other ministers who are really figuring this out and starting to walk this walk. There's a real learning curve, but it's changing them. And that's what you need. You need change. We need change. You know, that's why they said they promise you change. I promise you change if you change. But if you don't change, I promise you more of the same. Because the only thing you have a right to change is you. And you don't even have the power to change you. But you can be changed because you change your direction, the path that you're walking. That means instead of looking to the benefactors, you start looking to one another. That's pretty simple stuff. But it has a powerful quantum effect. You go out there and you want to get involved in politics? Going to change the world because you're going to get elected to office or elect somebody to office? No way. Ain't going to happen. That's the spirit of Nimrod. You want to see change? You change. Do the simple stuff. Start taking care of one another. I tell you, you just have to start walking that walk. Being titular means that they depend entirely upon the people for their means by which they operate and perform the duties of a free government. Now, imperial republics, they give some power to the government to tax, you know, like tariffs and excise taxes, which to some degree would work, but tariff tax taxes everybody. That's taxes on goods coming in from abroad. As soon as you give your government that power, you've walled in the camp. And that's opening a door to evil. Now, if you give them the power to excise tax and you have the right to the milk and honey of everything you own, your labor, your land, etc., they won't charge you any excise tax, but those people who come in your midst who will settle for legal title will be charged an excise tax. And that's not half bad, but it's also tainted a little bit. But God lets you make some of these mistakes because he knows you're weak. It's like, you know, you're learning to walk and he lets you use a cane. But you want to wean yourself off that cane. You don't want to become dependent upon it. So anyway, I don't know if you can start putting this together. See, a pure republic, the Constitution gave of the United States, I don't want to pick on that government. I'm interested in preaching the government of God, but we use that as an example. The government had the power to impose tariff and excise taxes, so they could tax foreign trade, and they could also put a tax on anything you didn't have an actual lawful title to. See, an excise tax is a patrimonial right of the father. That's the way it's defined. You go read the covenants of the gods. Excise is tribute. And tribute is a patrimonial right, the right of the father to tax that which he owns the true title to. If you haven't taken the time to study like law versus legal in the covenants of the gods, you don't know the difference between a legal title and a lawful title. True and actual title. When I use the word lawful, I mean true and actual title, because a legal title is lawful. It's just a divided title. You have the legal title means you don't have the beneficial interest to the property. That's the definition in Black's Law Dictionary. I didn't make it up. And you have legal title to the land. You don't own it. You don't own the beneficial right. You own the legal title. And the legal title does not include the beneficial use of the property. Therefore, they can tax you on the use of the property. You don't pay the tax, they take the property away. You don't own anything. I thought it was funny when I heard this person talking about Clive. Is it Clive Bundy? The guy in Nevada, that he doesn't own that land. Well, you don't own your land either. If they come and take it from Clive, which he actually owns the grazing rights, if they come and take it from him on trumped up bureaucratic nonsense so that they can drill for oil, then what happens to your property when they come and take your property? You know, it's like that old deal with the Nazis. They came for the communists and nobody did anything. They came for me. Because you've created a beast that goes around and devours who it will because you care more about yourself than you do your neighbor. And that's because you're not really a Christian. You're not really following Christ. So therefore, I call you to repent. That's what you need to do. This is serious. Your souls are at stake. You've gone the wrong way. You're not going the righteous way of Christ. You're not gathering together with one another to take care of one another and to do the will of the Father. You're not doing that. You're not certainly not doing it on a kingdom level. You need to repent and start doing it. Join us. Go join the network. Form a congregation of record. You know, you're not obligated to me. You're not a corporation as a congregation of record. Anyway, we'll talk more about that. This idea, though, that the ministers have no power over you is very important. They shouldn't have any emotional power over you either. They do not exercise authority one over the other, but are servants of servants, which we've explained over and over again. But people just don't quite make that connection and what that means, because your public servants in whatever government you are in now, they're not servants, they're lawmakers. They just arrest you, they arrest your wife, they don't care about you. You could kidnap a girl right in front of them and they wouldn't do anything. But if you don't stand far enough back, you know, as your husband is in the police car, they'll throw you in jail. And everybody will stand around and let that happen. Now, I'm not telling you to go wrestle a cop to the ground, but 5,000 people should show up at that courthouse on the day of his arraignment saying, we want justice. We want this man released. We want to know why now was he even arrested. And if there was not good cause, we want those officers either sanctioned or fired, depending on whatever the case is. You'll get results. But if you all go to church and sing, then you're not doing what Christ said, because he said the weightier matters was tending to the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. Christ was running a system of government that operated by free will offerings, just like Moses. People like Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod, Stuart, and Susanna, and many others which ministered unto Christ, of their substance, allowed Christ to create a welfare system with ministers who would not exercise authority and take care of the needy without going to the men who called themselves benefactors, going to the kings who set a table that is full of deceitful meats that you do not want to be eating of, because he serves those deceitful meats that will become a snare and a trap. Christ had to create the alternative, and that took a number of years. What are you doing to create that alternative? Shaking your fist at the beast? You are the beast. You created it because you didn't create the alternative. You weren't a doer of the word. You were playing church. Exodus 20:26, neither shalt thou go up by steps unto mine altar, that thy nakedness be not discovered thereon. What is he talking about? The people had to make these breeches, coverings, for their ministers, because they had no authority. And that's why you need a sacred purpose trust, to give the minister covering. And you also have to give him your substance that he, and you know, I'm not going to tell you all the little fine details. I mean, we have a lot of it written. If you read all the footnotes and you study it, you're still going to probably need some explanation. We're only going to do this in person. But this is clever. And if you begin to walk the walk, we'll reveal the rest to you. But I tell you this, if you really begin to walk the walk, you'll begin to see the rest of this. Because God will open your eyes. We will build his church upon that inner revelation that comes from those who are doers of the word and does not come from those who bury their talent deposit their wealth in their own pockets and do not start the flow of righteousness, loving their neighbor as much as themselves. So you go read Luke 22:25-27 and see what it says and the others. We need to serve one another. We need to have ministers who are men of service, who don't want to exercise authority, who want to do and manifest the character of Christ. Sacred Purpose Trust is the beginning of that covering that empowers them. Also a Friends of His Church Trust, which is a Sacred Purpose Trust as well. But it creates this outer area where the laver is, where you can clean up things before they enter into the temple. And, you know, like I said, His Church Credit Union, you can do these things, but the elders need to start really getting serious about seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness by creating the institutions of God according to the Spirit of God and the manifestation of His name, or they're not going to get anywhere. By giving them something, by giving your minister something to take care of, for Christ's purposes, the man becomes the minister by your witness. But you get to see if he is a minister. You gotta give him something to go with. And as much as you invest in that kingdom will determine where you stand in relationship to that kingdom, because you're sacrificing according to the character of Christ. You're going to find that hard at times. But then in prayerful reflection, you can repent. Repentance isn't always just an instant thing. It's a process. It's a direction. When two or more do this by their witness, that minister can say he is doing the work of Christ and his ministry, and that he is the minister of Christ. He is no longer naked. He is now wearing the breeches, the covering of the people, to do the work of Christ. Now, if he's not doing it, withdraw your covering. But if you're not supporting his effort to do it, you've got some serious explanations to make to Christ when he says you're a worker of iniquity. You're not a doer of the word. You're not taking care of one another. Get ye from me. You see, there's a job that the church has, the ministers have, and the elders of every congregation has. If they're not tithing, they better be starving. Because even the widow gave her widow's mite. And I'm not telling you who to tithe to. I'm not telling you to tithe to me. But you better be gathering together with somebody with the intention of becoming the social welfare of Christ, or you will not be free. And you should not be free. You should be under tribute. The slothful should be under tribute. The minister's position is not merely naked self-testimony, but he will be covered by the testimony of the people for the purposes of Christ, for the people to feed the sheep according to the name of the Lord God Almighty. Until then, may peace be upon your house, and may God protect you, because you're going to need it. Until then, God bless.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net. Thank you.